Amen.
Amen. All right. Checking out. How many of you guys have been here the last couple studies we've been doing with our little hybrid thing here with Pastor Bobby and one of our deacons, Jim Jubenville? They've been having a hard time lately. You remember that? I mean, we had Pastor Bobby and the dishwasher incident. Remember that? And the Rottweiler chasing him down. And then he tried to get away. And Pastor Bobby had that Walmart horsey ride and his head was banging. Remember that? He's had a rough. Well, him and Jim apparently got together, right? Yeah, just work with me. They got together and they decided, you know, we got to get away from it all. We just got to go relax. And they decided to go hiking out in the backwoods of Vegas here. You know, probably Red Rock or something out there, right? And so they're out there hiking, whatever. They're out in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, this huge downpour, you know, one of those famous ones here in Vegas, it starts thunder, rain, the whole nine yards, right? So they're running back to their car for about 10 minutes, pouring rain. They finally get to the car. Just as the rain starts to let up, they jump in the car. They start it up and they're heading down the road, right? And so all of a sudden, there an old man's face appeared in the passenger window. Yeah, and he taps on the window lightly. And so Jim screams out and he goes, "Oh, Pastor Bobby, look, there's somebody out the window. There's an old guy's face there." Was this a ghost? Was this a ghost? And so the old man, he just kept knocking, right? And so Pastor Bobby said to Jim, he says, "Well, open the window a little bit and ask him what he wants." And so Jimmy rolls down the window, you know, part way, and he's scared out of his wits. And he goes, "What do you want?" And the old man just simply says, "You got any food?" Yeah, and so Jim, he's terrified. He looks over to Pastor Bobby and he says, "Hey, he wants food." So Pastor Bobby says, "Well, give him a sandwich, hurry." So Jim, he's fumbling around in the backpack he had there and he grabs a sandwich, he hands it to the old man, he throws it at him, he rolls up the window and he screams in terror, "Step on it, Pastor Bobby, step on it." So now, man, they're going about 80 miles an hour, right? They're just flying, right? And they're starting to calm down, though, a little bit. They're starting to laugh. And Jim says to Pastor Bobby, "Man, what do you think of that? That was pretty crazy." And Pastor Bobby says, "I don't know, man. How could that be? I mean, I was going pretty fast." But then all of a sudden, again, there's a knock at the window. It's the old man. He's looking in the window. And Jim screams, "Oh, there he is again." And so Pastor Bobby says, "Well, see what he wants this time." And so Jim rolls down the window, and he's going, "Yes." And the old guy says, "You got a napkin?" And so Jimmy throws him a napkin, and he rolls her up, and he tells Pastor Bobby, step on it. Now they're going about 100 miles an hour, man. They're trying to forget what they just saw and heard. And then all of a sudden, again, the man's knocking. He's back. So Jim rolls down the window, and he screams in utter terror. He says, What do you want? And the guy says, "You guys want some help getting out of the mud?" Wow. It just gets worse each week. But how many guys would say that Pastor Bobby and Jim had no clue what was going on there? You know what I'm saying? They had one idea and they thought, whoa, I tell you what. They got duped, okay? But folks, seriously, with all due respect, did you know the Bible says that our whole planet is going to be duped on a massive scale, okay? And that's going to happen, unfortunately, at the rapture of the church. Okay, and they're being duped right now to not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because this is the lie. They're like, "Oh, hey, yeah, if you Christians disappear, yeah, okay, yeah. That's when I'll know." No, you won't be fine. The Bible's very clear. You just got thrust into the seven-year tribulation. You got duped. You got duped long enough to not receive Christ your Savior, and that meant you're left behind. And you're going to be thrust in this time frame called the seven-year tribulation. It's not a joke. Jesus said, "I didn't." It's the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, i.e. kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. Don't be duped. If you're not saved, you need to get saved now. Okay? And what we've been seeing is God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And so what does he do? Why do you think nearly one-third of this book called the Bible deals with future events? He warns people a multitude of ways, a multitude of signs. It's getting close. It's getting close. It's getting close. So that if you're saved, finish strong. Don't get distracted. Amen? Be a faithful bride. Be able to say like the Apostle Paul, man, all the way to the end when church history says his head was chopped off. Right? He said what? "I fought the fight. I kept the race. I kept the faith." Don't you want to finish that way? Don't get distracted. Right? It's getting close. Finish strong. But if you're not saved, what? You better get saved now. This is not a game. God is reaching out to you in a multitude of ways, okay? And another sign that we're going to take a look at, believe it or not, is super soldiers and the Battle of Armageddon. Doesn't that sound manly? Yeah, this is action stuff today, okay? But seriously, folks, as crazy and as eclectic as that sounds, this is another thing that our world is doing, an absolute rebellion against God. The last two studies we've been seeing, of course, with this genetic altering issue with the transhumanism, with the plants and the animals and the insects, and last time with the people. It's not just altering humanity, which is a repeat of the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6. Okay, and what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? When you see the days of Noah repeat, he's getting ready to come back. right? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, it's not just altering humanity. Listen, this same technology is preparing humanity for what I believe. I'm going to share with you a little Chrome theory today. But it's preparing humanity, listen, to be duped beyond their wildest dreams. They're going to use this technology to dupe people to do one of the dumbest things ever. And that is to try to take on God and think you could defeat him at the Battle of Armageddon. Okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to his. Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at this event called the Battle of Armageddon. Right? And what's going to happen? How's it going to play? How's it get started? How do people fall for this baloney? Are you serious? You're going to take on God? Okay? And but let's take a look at who does it and how they go about it. And again, this is at the end of the seven-year tribulation is the time frame, right? The final, last mistake, unfortunately, by rebellious, wicked humanity. But let's take a look there. Revelation 16, 12 through 16. Here's what it says in the sixth bowl judgment. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to what? To prepare the way for the king from the east. And then I saw three evil spirits look like frogs when they came out of the mouth of the dragon. Now stop right there. Who's the dragon? If I only knew who the dragon was. How many times we've seen, read the Bible defines it for you. It's Satan, right? We saw that clearly in the previous context, the chapters in Revelation chapter 12. So you're dealing with three evil spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, who's that? The Antichrist. And then the third one says he comes out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are the spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty, or in other words, the battle of Armageddon. You may be seated if you can there. But basically what we're seeing is here at the very end, Satan's already duped the planet I don't know how many different times throughout this seven-year period in the seven-year tribulation. But here he is at the very end, duping mankind one last time in what I call the absolute dumbest thing you could ever do, the ultimate suicide mission, and that is to take on God. He's God. And last time I checked, God is God, and he doesn't lose. He never loses. So my point is, like, come on, who's going to fall for this? I mean, we know it's going to happen, and we know the key players. How is Satan, how is the Antichrist, how is a false prophet going to dupe humanity into literally, let's go beat up God? Well, when you, this is where the little Chrome theory comes in. When you take a look at this genetic altering technology and the things that they want to do, including the creation of actual advanced military technology, including super soldiers. And then you throw in a little bit of Hollywood that's preparing people, like, wouldn't you want to be a superhero too and take on some alien power from the sky? I don't know. I'm kind of thinking maybe he might use this as part of his deception to get people to go along with that. Now, they're doing it in three different ways. They're actually enhancing the military, specifically soldiers, and not just our country, but around the world. And it's a step-by-step process, literally, as we will see, to even get to the point where they're using the same genetics, the same CRISPR technology that they're doing on plants, animals, and insects, and people we saw last time. But they're doing it for soldiers to give them some freakish abilities, just like the Marvel movies. Except it's not a movie, they're really doing it. If anything, Hollywood is, again, a propaganda preparedness for what they're doing. And I think that's part of the deception, that they're going to give people these super abilities that you could take on anybody, even God. But don't say it's God. We'll get to part of that in just a second. But let me give you three different ways. It's kind of a step-by-step process leading us up to the Marvel scenario. And the first way is they're giving them external enhancements. And this has been going on with militaries around the world for quite some time now. And again, you might be out there going like, Pastor Billy, man, what happened to you? I get it that you were in Florida, but did a spider bite you there? Did a palm tree land on your head? You know, this is crazy stuff. Super soldiers, Battle of Armageddon, and wacky. This is wacky conspiracy stuff. These people aren't really creating super soldiers just like in the movies, are they? Yeah, they are. And dare I say, what we're going to see is actual clips of what I call over-the-counter information. You can come across the same stuff if you do the research yourself. But what's the rule, though? If you're going to share that this is really what you're doing in public, how long has it really been going on? 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years? We don't know. But watch when you see how far it's really come. Now, let me give you a couple points. Are they really trying to create super soldiers? Yes. Now, if you were here for our AI study, we saw a video from Russian leader Vladimir Putin. And he admitted that not only they are creating super soldiers, but to use his phrase, he said it's more dangerous than a nuclear boom. Okay, remember that? Watch this. He admits it.
Человек приобретает возможность влезать в генетический код, созданный или природой, или люди с религиозными взглядами говорят Господом Богом. Последствия практически какие из этого могут наступить? Это значит, что уже можно это представить, даже не очень теоретически, а уже можно практически представить, что человек может создавать человека с заданными характеристиками. Это может быть гениальный математик, это может быть гениальный музыкант, но может быть и военный, человек, который может воевать без страха и без чувства сострадания, сожаления и без боли. То есть, вы понимаете, человечество может вступить и, скорее всего, вступит в ближайшее время в очень сложный и очень ответственный период своего развития и существования. И вот то, о чем я сейчас сказал, может быть страшнее ядерной бомбы.
Huh? That's the only Russian word I know, and I'm proud of it. Бомба. That's him. You guys seem like a bright crowd this morning, right? And hopefully not too many of you ate chicken and messed up your mind, but how many of you guys would say that if Vladimir Putin is saying that there's the issue of developing now with genetics and creating super soldiers with what? Without fear, without compassion? You don't even experience pain? Do you guys ever see that Universal Soldier movie way back in the day? That's what he's talking about, except it's not a movie, it's reality. And he says that's going to be even more dangerous than the development of the nuclear boom. But if he's talking about it, I'm kind of thinking they're probably doing it on a massive scale. Probably if we really knew what was going on, we would literally freak out. Okay? But he admits it, okay? And it's not just him that admits it. You take a look out there. Even the press is starting to get in on this, and they're admitting that, you know what? Hollywood has predicted our future. I'm sure that's a quinky-dink. They're really creating super soldiers, including with genetic altering, okay? Watch this clip. The press is now starting to catch up. Oh, and by the way, did you guys see it was just a couple weeks ago? It's in print. What did China admit that they're doing? Now it's out in the open. We're creating what? A race of super soldiers. And that wasn't from JoeSchmo.com, whacking conspiracy guy. It's really starting to take off. But watch what the press even admits.
The soldier of the future won't just be battle-trained and ready to kill. They'll be genetically engineered to withstand a biological attack. The Pentagon has a plan for editing the DNA and creating super soldiers. So far, this sounds a little bit closer to science fiction, perhaps a bit more fantasy than fact.
He will be the first in a new breed of super soldiers.
Earlier this year, a Chinese scientist announced that two girls were born with edited genomes, genomes that were edited to be HIV resistant. So, with potentially boundless possibilities, the question now is, what altered genes would a U.S. soldier need?
That's sad, because there's got to be consequences to that.
Oh, I'd change, I don't know, their strength, their vision, it's, you know, anything's the, anything that would make them a better soldier, I suppose.
But before you let your imagination run too wild, remember, the U.S. military says there is no need to worry. It's all for a good cause. There's a lot that could be done beyond simply fire-breathing, always-on, fully weaponized warriors. And keep your eyes out for the genetically modified soldiers of the future. Unlike GMO foods, they may not always be labeled.
But they're not labeling the GMO foods. That's a lie. We expose that. But what's he saying? It's now coming in the press. Not just Russia's talking about it, China admits it. But we've all been warmed up to it. How long has the Marvel series been out? We're warmed up to this. In fact, some people, the younger generations, wouldn't it be cool to be like Captain America? They'll go along with this program. They think this is great. But this is now with the same genetic technology we saw the last two studies that they've been doing for years with plants, animals, insects, and now people. Now it's militarized. okay, on a scale that's absolutely crazy. But again, what I said they're starting with, that's just a little teaser to admit this is real. This is not wacky conspiracy stuff. But they're starting with the external enhancements, right? How do you make them into a superhero, these soldiers, these super soldiers? Well, externally. And some of the things they've been working on for years is a system, these exoskeletons. They're literally called Hulk. HULC, that stands for the Human Universal Load Carrier, gives the soldier superhuman strength. They're also giving them abilities like Iron Man, bulletproof on a massive scale, liquid body armor, things of that nature. That system's called Talos, T-A-L-O-S. This has been out for a while. It's called Tactical Assault Light Operator Suit. And then again, so you got the abilities to give these soldiers what? Abilities like Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, and all that stuff. In fact, let me give you just examples, and this is just the external gear that they can put on these guys to make them into a superhero. Now, why would you want that? Because maybe one day you're going to have to work together like the superheroes to defeat an alien thing from... We'll get to that soon. But let's take a look at some of the external enhancements.
The Hulk is an anthropomorphic exoskeleton which mimics the human form. It provides extra support that enables a person to carry more weight than they normally could. Exoskeleton technologies are considered part of the robotics field. If you want to think about them as wearable robots, that's pretty accurate.
Today I am joined by researchers who invent some of the most advanced metals on the planet, designers who are modeling prototypes in the digital cloud, folks from the Pentagon who helped to support their work. Basically, I'm here to announce that we're building Iron Man.
A new type of suit being manufactured for the U.S. Army will not only help keep troops safer, but also make them look like something straight out of a movie. The suit was engineered by researchers at MIT and has some pretty cool features. I mean, how much more awesome does it get than a real-life Iron Man?
The Army has commissioned a tactical assault light operator suit, which would provide superhuman abilities like night vision, enhanced strength, and protection from gunfire. Each suit would have an onboard computer.
Oh, but it doesn't stop there.
This is Talos that can ward off explosions, seal wounds. Talos would also be climate controlled to withstand extreme heat or cold. How cool is that?
And according to the Army's official website, scientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology are currently developing liquid body armor. Here's a more realistic look.
Flyboard Air is a one-person jet hoverboard that you strap your feet into. You control the thrust with a hand-control throttle and steer by leaning forwards, backwards, left or right. The hoverboard is powered by five small jet engines and can fly at speeds of up to 110 miles per hour. And it does have the capability of flying up to 10,000 feet.
Remember the film The Rocketeer? Hero Cliff Secord discovers a Howard Hughes prototype jetpack and saves the damsel in distress. Well, the good folks at DARPA and Arizona State University may have broken the science fiction to reality barrier once again.
Or not, that's one bad mamma jamma.
Yeah. John, do you want one of those, dude? Yeah, was that totally cool? Use that to go to the conferences. I can avoid the luggage. That would be awesome. Not coming, but it's what? It's already here. All kinds of external enhancements you can give to soldiers. And specifically, they seem to have the same abilities as who? What? You got superheroes like the Rocketeer, the Incredible Hulk, you know, War Machine. And why? And how will that come into play in the last days? I don't know. Might give people just enough of the edge of being arrogant enough to try to take on God, as dumb as that is. But that's only part of it. That's just the first step, and that's been going on for a long time. They've already moved to the second step. You know, if we're going to enhance soldiers externally, and we're already warming up to this genetic thing, how about we start combining, you don't just put machines on them on the outside, how about on the inside? And that's what they've been doing actually for a while. Now they're making internal enhancements to the soldiers. And again, this is not coming, folks. This is already here. Now, part of that was merging man with machine and giving them superpower. Remember back in the day, the bionic man. How many guys still to this day, when you're exerting something as a man, you make that noise? And then you tried it with your kids, and they're like, what's wrong with dad? Is he stuttering? What's wrong? Is he whacked out? What happened? He get hit in the head. The hammer landed on him. No, but yeah, remember that, right? Folks, that technology has actually been here for quite some time. And what they're doing is basically, again, another superhero. They're getting us warmed up to what's called the cyborg scenario. We're not just external enhancements, but now we combine machines internally, especially with brain chips. We'll get to that in a second. But let me give you just a few of the, it's already out here. It's not coming, it's already here. Bionic upgrades. They're pitching for soldiers. You can have a bionic eye. You can have a bionic nose, believe it or not. Bionic exoskeleton. We just saw that. A bionic hand. You could have bionic lungs. You could have bionic heart and a bionic pancreas. And of course, even a bionic brain. Again, notice it goes back to the brain. That's the latest thing that they're pitching, is to literally alter the soldier's brain. Okay. To give you an upgrade. Okay. But let me give you an idea of this just happens to be another premise of a superhero movie, this one from DC, not Marvel, DC Comics, but a cyborg. And wouldn't it be great to now put those machines inside of us? What kind of superpowers we could have for the average Joe? But let's take a look at that premise.
There are hundreds upon hundreds of agencies in the U.S. government, and those agencies often have agencies within them. And now the Department of Defense has just created a brand new one. And this one has a really futuristic name. It's called the Biological Technology Office, or BTO. And it will cover lots of amazing programs that would get any sci-fi nerd excited or scare the living out of an enemy of the U.S. It all depends on how you look at it. The new agency will deal with programs coming out of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, which involve combining living stuff with technology. So things like brain research and synthetic biology. For instance, they'll oversee a bunch of programs aimed at understanding the human brain in order to develop cybernetic prosthetics that will actually integrate with the nervous system. So basically, the technology will allow the DoD to create robo-people.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move.
He said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
The agency will also work on a technology that allows humans to control robots remotely with their minds.
What? But again, notice that happens to be just another superhero concept that we're just being brainwashed to get used to. And I don't know if you caught that tagline there in that movie, but it says, quote, they said the age of heroes would never come again, but it has to. Why? Are you going to dupe somebody in the 7-year tribulation, do something dumb? Throw all this technology at them? It's crazy. But again, what they're doing is they're wanting these upgrades. And again, part of it that they're focusing on is with these brain chips. Now, we dealt extensively with this brain chip technology in our artificial intelligence study. But let me give you an idea of what they're wanting to specifically do, specifically for soldiers, if you would just get a brain chip. Now, the first thing that they're pitching is that if we can get soldiers to get a brain chip, then what it will do is it will literally erase their memories of PTSD, right? And as we saw before, they've even admitted, secular medical doctors, that that technology exists, where if you get a brain chip, they can push a button and they'll erase your memories, selective parts, or put things in there that weren't there before. Watch this.
It may sound like something out of a science fiction film, but But believe it or not, scientists are working on implanting microchips into human brains to delete memories. Prototypes for the chip are allegedly being tested on epilepsy patients in hospitals with good results. But the creator hopes to one day expand this chip, not just for the sick, but for the healthy population where users could remove experiences and, get this, buy new ones. The chip is predicted to be as common as cell phones in the future. Are you ready?
Talk about it, that maybe there is a use to try to eliminate those bad thoughts.
PTSD,
bad
PTSD memories.
Bad divorce,
rape,
whatever.
Trauma.
This is Westworld-esque, you know, with all the someone in a control room somewhere controlling your memories, controlling your thoughts.
It's creepy.
This is very creepy.
Yeah, just a little bit. But again, it's not just the average Joe. We already dealt with that in the artificial study. But again, this is specifically also being pitched on the military, in the military program. And it's not just to erase memories or put memories in there, okay? In fact, wouldn't that come in handy if you're wanting to dupe somebody and say, hey, that's not God coming from the sky. That's not Jesus as a second coming. That's an alien power. And you could put that in their memory. That's pretty crazy. But that's what they're doing. Now, not just to erase your thoughts, not just to put thoughts in that somebody externally would want, but also to, and this is what they're pitching the military, to educate your thoughts. In other words, to give the soldier instant learning abilities, just like this movie. Let's take a look at this scene again.
Hey, Mikey, I think he likes it. How about some more?
Yes.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Yeah, good. You know, you just jack something into your brain and just like that, download the information and you're good to go. How many guys could have used that when you got married? You know what I'm saying? It's like, how do you do this husband thing? Give me the, do something. Ladies, you missed your opportunity. You should say, no, my husband's great from the start. He doesn't need no brain chip. I tried. You didn't respond. You missed it. But this isn't actual. This is not, unfortunately, that's the movie premise that's been out for a while. Why? Because they're really doing it. And they're specifically doing this with soldiers, in the beginning anyway. I think it'll move out from there. But it's the program, I'll give you the name of the program. You can check it out yourself. It's called the TNT program. That's explosive, all right? The TNT program, this is by DARPA. We've seen those guys, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. They make the military candy. And that's what they said. They're working on, quote, developing implantable microchips that will allow the human brain to directly communicate with computer systems. The TNT program seeks to advance the pace of cognitive skills training through the activation of the peripheral nerves with the goal of reducing the cost and the time that the Defense Department spends on training the regiments, the soldiers, right? This speeds up the process. It will accelerate learning and reduce the time needed to train soldiers, okay, as well as all the other cognitive functions. The TNT program will enhance, listen, the most effective existing training methods so that men and women of our armed forces can operate, quote, at their full potential. In other words, this is taking too long for you to learn in basic training or whatever. For you to learn these, we're going to download them into your brain. That's what this program is called, TNT. Now, let me give you another one. Because I'm telling you, for some reason, I think we'll see why. They're focusing on the brain. Brain chips, brain implants. Okay? Not only to erase your thoughts or put thoughts they want in there. not only to educate your thoughts, give you instant learning. And who wouldn't want that? I can't take on some foreign power of the sky. I'm just a, here, you want to learn Kung Fu? Mm-hmm. Here, you want to, it's all here. It's not coming, it's all here. But they also want to control your thoughts. You see, there's a side effect. You give somebody the ability to do that, then they can control your brain, even your motor functions. And believe it or not, they even admit that in case a soldier hesitates on the battlefield, and you can't have that, or gets too afraid, and you can't have that, there'll be remote control now. You'll make them do it. Remote-controlled soldiers with brain implant technology. Watch this.
Brain-machine interfaces, a technology that marks the beginnings of a new kind of man, the cyborg, the robot man. But as usual, before there is a man, there is a rat. In this case, the robot rat. A remote-controlled rat. Neuro-robotic technology can be applied in different directions. The brain controlling the machine, or, inversely, the machine controlling the brain. Two electrodes in the sensory cortex of the rat send stimuli to the zones connected to its whiskers. When the rat follows the signal sent to its left side and turns in that direction, it is rewarded with a discharge into its pleasure zone. This discharge produces a flow of dopamine, providing instant pleasure. This zone is also called the brain's reward center. We possess a reward center too, just like the rat. So it's no coincidence that these researches are partly funded by DARPA, the U.S.'s Defense Research Agency. Neuroscience will bring us the soldier of the future. A remote-controlled soldier? A soldier who, in the midst of a battle, can be sent crucial data and information downloaded into his brain? A soldier who can control his fears and command firepower by thought? At this stage, anything is possible.
Wow. That's from the Science Channel. It's one of those things they admit out there. It's called soft disclosure, a little here, a little there. Don't want to freak out too much, but get used to this. This is really what they're working on. Now, I think that this is leading somewhere. And again, back to the premise, how are you going to dupe people to take on God, the dumbest thing you could ever do, in the seven-year tribulation? And a lot of this stuff is focusing on this brain chip thing, including creating remote-controlled soldiers or people, right? Well, is there any signs that people would do that in mass? Yes. Go back to what? The people who worship the Antichrist, what are they going to do? They're going to take his mark. And where's that mark, folks? The Bible tells you two places it's going to happen. Revelation 13, 16, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand, or what was the second option? Forehead. Now, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but could be a brain chip, right? And all those people that get a brain chip, right? And then here comes the last, you know, most of the planet's already been decimated by this time, but, and Satan knows he's going to the lake of fire. Satan knows he's lost, right? But he's so stinking evil, he's seeing how many people he can take with him to the lake of fire. So what's he do one last time to humanity that's left on the planet at that time? Ha, ha, ha! And he goes out into the whole world. And think about this technology. If this is wrapped into the Mark of the Beast technology, he'll put thoughts in there. He'll erase thoughts. You won't even think that that's Jesus come from the sky. It'll be exactly what he wants you to think it is. He'll throw all this external technology at you. He'll throw all the internal cyborg technology at you. He'll say, man, you can have fighting skills. Like, you can be a superhero. You can. It's starting to add up. But again, that's just the first two, external, internal. And Marvel movie, Captain America is right. They're also now doing the third one. That's the genetic enhancements. And this is the full blown, right? All the different, just like, I'm not, Captain America, remember that story? Remember that first movie, The Premise? Right? That's not a movie anymore, they're actually doing that. But for those of you who are not familiar with that, it's that story where he was, you know, wanting to be a good, faithful soldier, that's fine, right? What was his problem? He was built like Pastor Billy. Hey, who said that he's built like Pastor Billy? Come on, that's not funny. That's, I wear baggy clothes to hide the guns, people. No. All right, so he's built like Pastor Billy, right? That was the problem. But his heart was right. He was right at the place. But so what'd they do to fix him so he could really be an effective soldier? They crammed this genetic altering fluid in him and put him in a cooker. Now, he came out looking like Pastor Billy, right? That's two for two. Yeah, thank you. I was going to say, two for two, you messed it up. But if you aren't familiar with that premise, This has been out there, soft disclosure, getting us used to, really, you can really, in a matter of minutes, turn somebody into super, yeah. But here's that movie scene. Let's take a look.
Do you hear me? Is this on? Ladies and gentlemen, today we take not another step towards annihilation, but the first step on the path to peace. We begin with a series of micro-injections into the subject's major muscle groups. The serum infusion will cause immediate cellular change. And then, to stimulate growth, the subject will be saturated with vital rays.
That wasn't so bad.
That was penicillin.
Serum infusion, beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, Mr. Stark.
Signs are normal.
That's 50%. 60, 70, 80, 90. That's 100%.
You know why? I wear baggy clothes. I just try to be modest, humble, you know? Yeah, I wish I had one of those machines, but anyway, that's right. But good thing that was just a movie. It's just for our entertainment. Been doing this stuff for years, folks. Remember we already saw in the last study that they've been doing for years, genetically modifying, creating super, this is their word, muscly dogs. And what they admit, the reason why we're doing it on dogs first is what? Humans are next. That was in China. And who just came out? We want a whole, we're admitting it now. We're going to create a whole race of those guys. Genetically modified super soldiers, exactly like you've been propagandized, conditioned to receive in the movies, just like Captain America, okay? And again, here's what they want to do. DARPA, it's not just China. It's basically every major military developed country in the world. And there's a race to create the biggest, baddest super soldiers to take over the other guys now super soldiers, right? It's a whole new way of warfare. DARPA plans to modify DNA to build a superhuman army, okay? It's not a thing of the future. It is now. And this isn't our country, folks. DARPA has set out to modify the human species by creating a race of super soldiers. And if they are successful, these soldiers will be genetically modified transhumans capable of extraordinary things, including building a soldier that, listen, can run faster than any human alive, a soldier who doesn't eat or sleep for days, and that one can even regrow limbs. These are the things that DARPA are working on. They are genetically modifying the human in this way. Quote, it's like something from the pages of a science fiction novel. Or should we say science fiction movie to prepare you for that. Okay, but just pick a superhero, folks, that we thought was all for our entertainment and pleasure, watching that movie, that was great action, explosions, is to prepare you for what they're really creating. Now, let me give you just a few of the genetic modifications that they want to do to the soldiers. Again, it was external, internal, now it's genetic, right? But let me give you just a few of them that are out there. They want to give them super vision. They want to give them super dense bones. They want to give them super flexibility. They want to give them super pain tolerance so you don't feel anything. Super sleeplessness. You can go for days. Super strength, of course, like Captain America. Super immunity from disorders. Super immunity from diseases. Super tolerance for temperature, right? Heat or cold. Super breathing for high altitudes. Super universal blood. And super crystal clear underwater vision, you know, like Aquaman. The other one that came out and we haven't even talked about. But this is actual stuff that they're wanting to do. And part of it, I don't have time to get into it, get the hybrid documentary if you want more. But what they're doing, and they've been doing for decades, they've been going around the world and taking the DNA samples of people that have genetic anomalies in them. For instance, it's out there. You could watch the video clips. There's this kid out there that's got, he's just a little kid. He's got this, quote, freakishly genetically strong strength. And so these scientists are going around and they're saying, we want a sample of that. There's people out there, believe it or not, who, and you can watch the videos, who have no pain. They don't feel pain. Now, it's a detriment to them because they could take a bath that's too hot and they could literally be scalding themselves. They wouldn't feel it. They could even put their hand on the stove and they'll never feel it. So it's detrimental, but they're going to say, ooh, we'd like that too. So they go and they take a sample of that. And on it goes, and that's what they want to do. They've been collecting all these anomalies, and then they're going to inject them like Captain America, and it ain't just the strength factor. No pain, none of that stuff. In fact, this guy even admitted it. They want to get to the point where they want to genetically modify the stomachs of soldiers so they can eat cellulose or grass. And you're thinking, well, why would you want to do that? Because that would give them the ability. Grass is everywhere. Then you wouldn't have to worry about the food supply chain in the battle. You wouldn't have to worry about MREs. They could just eat grass. But the problem is, once you change that, you can't get it back. And then they're also saying, if you keep that up, are these guys even human anymore? On tape, watch this.
Human enhancement technologies are being researched into ways in which we can change the very nature of us as humans, and this has important impacts on soldiers and the ways in which we fight wars. As examples of technologies that are being researched at the moment, exoskeletons and prosthetics. These involve adding mechanical means or new limbs to amputees and others to increase their strength and endurance, such as the tactical assault light operator suit. We have cognitive enhancements. These involve pharmaceuticals, brain stimulation, electronic brain stimulation, and other means to reduce the need for sleep and increase the capacity to operate under stress. There's also some interest in changing nutrition and eating. Some of the more extreme examples of this are changing someone's stomach so that they can digest cellulose, which means that soldiers can eat grass. In terms of enhancement and ethics, there's been a lot of ethical interest in enhancement for a while. Some of the general concerns that people have around enhancement are changing our very nature as humans. If we enhance ourselves such that we're no longer the same as we are now, are we still human?
Yeah, that's the rub, isn't it? How far can you go and you're technically no longer human? This is the stuff that they're doing. Internally, externally, and now genetically. And again, as we saw before with the CRISPR technology, once you take certain things out, you can't put them back in. These are irreversible forever changes to the individual. And then if they were to even survive, and if they can even procreate, then it's forever changing the human germline. It's not coming. It's already here. Now, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord on this, but you stir this technology together, and could it have something to do with the mark of the beast, you know, a brain chip or something like that? And people are saying, well, no wonder people's fate are doomed when they take that mark, right? Let's revisit that, right? The Bible's very clear. You take the mark of the beast in the seven-year tribulation, not us, we're going to be gone, but the people who are left behind, you're doomed. Your fate's sealed. You're toast. Revelation 14, 9 through 11, the third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image and for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now, granted, scripture, let's just stick with scripture. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but the scripture is very clear. For whatever reason, when you take that mark, you're done. Your fate sealed. Some people say you get a second chance. I don't believe that because the Bible's very clear. You take it for whatever reason. Now, some are saying, and I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but some are saying like, well, if this mark stuff has something to do with this genetic altering and to the point where they're really technically no longer human, then that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Now, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but it's just something to think about, right? We'll stick primarily with the text. You should always stick with the biblical text. The reason why these people are doomed because they made a choice. They chose to worship the Antichrist, and they knew what they were doing. But you throw in this other element, it's kind of interesting. But so let's stir it all together and we'll close, all right? How in the world is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet going to dupe people? The dumbest thing ever to try to take on God at the Battle of Armageddon. Well, stir it all together. What do you got, right? You got basically, hey, they're going to come along the side and they're going to say, hey, that's not God. That's not Jesus Christ at the second coming. He's going to part the sky, right? No, that's an alien. That's an alien power. And you know what? I know you're feeling a little bit insecure, but listen, haven't you watched the movies? We're going to give you all this technology, external enhancements, the internal enhancements. We'll genetically modify you just like that. You'll learn instant fighting skills, and don't worry, you won't be afraid. You'll just march. We need to band together with our technology one last time and save the planet. And you know what's crazy? That's not just a crone theory. The same movies that have been brainwashing us to get used to this super soldier technology, did you know they're actually brainwashing people to fall for that lie? That that's not Jesus coming from the sky, that's an alien power. And that we need to all become superheroes and take on that power and save the planet. They are actually getting that image into people's minds to possibly fall for that lie. Remember this scene? Watch this one.
I can shut the portal down.
Do it. No, wait. Stark, these things are still coming.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute. And I know just where to put it.
Stark, you know that's a one-way trip.
Save the rest for the turn, Jay.
What's up?
Slowing down.
What just happened?
Well, don't you know? He saved humanity. An alien power that came from the sky. It was coming through this portal, and the scripture says the sky's going to part. And Christ is coming back. We're coming back with him on white horses at the second coming. But maybe somebody so seductive who rhymes with Satan, the Antichrist, and false prophet will twist it and saying, that's an alien threat. We got to band together one last time with our technology and do something dumb like take on God. I don't know. I'm not going to say it thus saith the Lord, but when you put it all together, Man, it sure makes you wonder. And you wonder why Satan is not just called the great deceiver. He's a murderer, and he's been one from the beginning. Because the Bible's very clear, those who get duped to go along with the Battle of Armageddon, it's going to be a bloodbath. God never loses. Here's the death toll of that unfortunate lie. Revelation 14, 20, and they were what? Turn to somebody and say, Tony Stark, loser. Okay. And they were trampled in the wine press outside the city, and the what? The blood flowed out of the press, rising, listen, as high as a horse's bridle for a distance of 1,600 stadia. Let me translate that for you. That means the blood was 4 feet deep for about 200 miles. And Satan knew the whole time he was going to lose. But that's how much he hates us. He hates mankind as we're created in God's image, right? You don't want to be there. Okay? And you certainly don't want to fall for that. And you don't have to if you just listen to Jesus, right? He said, when these things begin to take place, what do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He's coming back. What we're describing is the deception at the very end of the seven-year tribulation. The church leaves at the rapture prior to the whole thing. But if we see very possibly the technology that's going to be used to help dupe people, unfortunately, to go along at the Battle of Armageddon and try to take on God, man, that's just that much closer for us. And so the point is we need to finish strong. As Judgment Day approaches, it's not fearful for the Christian. It should motivate us to tell as many people, get to safety while you can, because things are going to blow up and you don't want to be here. And if you're not saved, then how many more times has God got to tell you, basically, the planet's going to blow? It's going to go up. I love you. It's not here yet, but I'm giving you signs. Do you see the smoke? Do you see the tremors? Do you see it's getting close? Could you please? I want to rescue you. And there it is right there. That's the one way out of this mess. What are you waiting for? Come to safety before the judgment day hits. Don't make the mistake that this guy in real life did. Harry Truman. Not the president, a different guy. But this really happened, folks. Don't be like this. We'll close in prayer after this.
This is a picture of a fish fossil swallowing another fish. Either that or the little one is a dentist. I don't know. But you know, neither one of the fish thought they were going to die that night. The big one had the little one about halfway down, and I think the flood came and the fountains of the deep broke open and probably a mudslide covered them up. And they both woke up dead. Did you know you're going to wake up dead one of these days? And you're going to be dead for a long time. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Harry Truman, not the president, Harry Truman lived on the side of Mount St. Helens. A friend of mine from St. Louis witnessed to Tim Barron's, witnessed to Harry Truman. He said, Brother Hovind, Harry was a very profane man. He cursed every other word. He listened carefully to the gospel and then rejected what I had to say. He turned Jesus down. Sometime after that, the government came in and said, Harry, we believe this volcano is going to explode. You need to move. Harry lived right on the side of Mount St. Helens. Harry said, I'm staying right here. I'm not moving. Well, Harry did stay right there. Matter of fact, he is still there someplace. They never did find him. Probably buried under 300 feet of mud about now. Harry heard the warning and refused. As far as we know, Harry's in hell right now. Now, isn't that stupid to live on the side of a volcano that's about to explode, and somebody comes and tells you, would you move? You say, no, I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. I mean, that's not too bright, is it? But you know, there's an awful lot of people in America doing the same thing, and people in the world doing the same thing. Here we are living on a planet that's going to be blown up. It's going to be burned. It's going to be destroyed. We're all going to die. And Jesus has provided a way of escape, so you don't have to pay for your sins. You can be forgiven. And they're refusing to take the opportunity to be saved. I don't understand that kind of thinking, or lack of thinking. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have Jesus, you're just not going to heaven. God's not willing that any should perish, it says in 2 Peter. He wants everybody to be saved. You can be forgiven. If you'll ask God, he'll forgive you. I think an awful lot of Christians are going to get to heaven, And they're going by themselves. They've never led a soul to Christ. And they're going to get up to heaven, and they're going to see somebody else who's got a whole crowd gathered around them. They're going to say, hey, where'd you get all of them? And somebody's going to say, oh, I got them down yonder on the earth. Y'all could have had one if and you'd have wanted one. Question. Who are you bringing to heaven with you? Who are you bringing with you? Have you led anybody to Jesus? I mean, it's not that hard. Jesus is coming quickly. You ought to lead somebody to Christ. Some of you are here tonight and you're saved. You've never done that. You've never brought anybody to Jesus, have you? You could. You could, if you weren't so worried about the dumb ball game going on. See, the devil has you distracted on things that are not going to matter. What you ought to do is focus on what's going to matter forever. And that's not money, that's not cars, that's not clothes, that's not ball games, that's souls. Everybody ought to hear the gospel, folks. Jesus is coming quickly. Hey, if you died tonight, where would you go? You're going to be dead for a long time, you know. You better get prepared for that. Where would you go if you die tonight? If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you ought to get saved. God's judgment, folks, it's evident every place. He ruined this world once, and he's coming to judge it again. And we're all going to stand before God. And it's, praise God, I've got the blood of Jesus Christ taking care of my sins, or else I'd be in serious trouble. If you don't have Jesus taking care of your sins, well, then you are in trouble. But he loves you. He's willing to save you. See, we're all going to die. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to try to make it the last thing I do, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen to you too. And you're going to be dead for a long time. Where are you going to be when you're dead? Or if you're saved, what are you going to have to show for your life? You going to leave it all behind? Why don't you take somebody with you to heaven? If you can't get you a big one, get you a little one. But get somebody saved. Everybody ought to win somebody to Christ. If you don't know how, learn how. If you're scared, pass out tracts or leave videotapes or do something. Everybody can do something. Boy, that flood ought to remind us of God's judgment. Ought to motivate us to get busy and lead others to Christ. I pray that you'll do just that.
And that's why he gives us so many signs that it's getting close. How many different angles has God given us? Does this get your attention? Does this show you? How about this way? How about through this one? How about this, what's going on in the world right now? How about this? How about that? Have you thought about this thing? How many different signs does he have to give us that the volcano is about to blow? And there's always the same two threads. If you're a Christian, who are you taking with you? How many people have you led to Christ? When's the last time you even witnessed? What has happened to your heart? If you're off track, get back on track. And make that commitment like the Ephesian church in Revelation, who had lost their first love. As it says, repent and get back on track. And redo the things you did at first. You know, like when you first got saved. But if you're here and you're not saved, what are you waiting for? Don't be like Harry. He probably literally, unfortunately, scoffed in mockery. I used to be one of those people. Until he heard the explosion. And then he wasn't laughing anymore. But it was too late. Don't be like that. If you're here today, do what the Bible says to do. Acknowledge that God is holy, that we are not. We're disqualified, myself, for heaven. I can't get there on my own. You can't, because we got sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and go straight to hell, myself included. But because God is love, he so loved the world, he gave his son. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. That's what he was doing on the cross. And the Bible says that if you trust in that, since it's a gift, and since he did the work, you don't do it, I don't do it. It's a gift. You got to receive it. You could stare at it. That doesn't do any good. You got to receive it. And say, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Would you please forgive me? I trust in you and what you did for me on the cross. Would you please forgive me and would you please save me? The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Do it now before it's too late. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the Scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.